Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning Young Israel Vodmir Shir, which we are Zooming today, not in person. So thank you, everyone, for joining. So this week's parasha is parasha Shmos, and I want to talk about the idea of names and Shmos and the significance of what we learn from names. So the Sefer begins and the parasha begins, Ve'ele Shmos b'nei Yisrael habayi Mitzrayimah. These are the names of the children of Israel coming down, who came to Egypt. So this is the first pasuk, a parasha Shmos, and also Sefer Shmos. Es Yaakov Ishu Vesu Va'u Yaakov, each man and his household came. Pasuk Beis, Reuven Shimon Levi V'Yehuda. Now, after introducing the fact that these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt, and now lists and enumerates the names, Reuven Shimon Levi V'Yehuda. Yisachar, Zvun, Ubinyamin, Dan, V'Naftali, Gad, V'Asher. This is the opening to Sefer Shmos. V'ayihi kol nefesh yotzei erech Yaakov shivim nefesh v'Yosef hayir b'Mitzrayim. So everyone who came from the loins of Yaakov was 70 souls, and Yosef was in Egypt. Now, if you look at the end of Sefer Bereishis, when Yaakov actually descends to Egypt, it enumerates in great detail the family there as well. Pasuk Vav tells us, V'yamas Yosef v'chol echad v'chol hadar hahu. Yosef died, and all of his brothers died, and that entire generation died. Pasuk Zayin, which is a pasuk that we recite at the Pesach Seder, Ubnei Yisrael paru vayishrutu vayarbu vayatzmu b'me'od me'od vatimalei ha'aretz osem. And the Bnei Yisrael were fruitful and teeming and many, and they were very, very strong, and they filled the land. So let us just look at Rashi to Pasuk Aleph before we talk about this idea of names. Ve'ele shmos Bnei Yisrael habayim mitzrayma. These are the names, and the whole Sefer, of course, is called Sefer Shmos. So the secular translation is Exodus, and that really goes after the appellation of Shmos. Sefer Shmos is also known as Sefer HaGeula, the Book of Redemption. Each of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah have a different appellation. So Shmos is also known as Sefer HaGeula, and we translate Shmos as Exodus after the great Exodus from Egypt. But of course, Shmos actually means names and not Exodus. So the first Rashi too, Sefer Shmos tells us, Ve'ele Shmos B'nei Yisrael. Afal Pisha Minna'an B'chayehim B'Shmos. Even though Hashem counted them by their names in their lifetime, Chazar Umanan b'Misasam, he counted them again after their death, because they were all the Shvatim. When we open up Parsha Shmos, we're learning about the time period after Yaakov and Yosef and all of the Shvatim died. Hashem counted them in their lifetime when they descended to Egypt, and now Hashem counts them again after their death. Why? After their death, Lodia Chibasam, to make it known how precious they are to Hashem, Shenim Shulu LaKochavim, that they are compared to stars. Hashem takes the stars out and brings them back in by number and by name. And then Rashi quotes a pasuk from Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Mem, Pasuk Chavav. The entire pasuk, which Rashi does not quote the whole pasuk, but the entire pasuk says, Su'u marom einechem uru'u mibara eila. Lift your eyes up to the heights. Lift your eyes to the heavens and see who created these. Hamotzi b'mispar tzva'a. This is what Rashi quotes, who takes out by number the hosts, l'kulam b'shem yikra, to all of them he calls a name. This is the complete pasuk that Rashi only quotes an excerpt of from Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Mem, Pasuk Chavav. May Rov Onim v'amitz koach, by the greatness of his might, and that he is strong in power, ish lo ne'adar, no one is missing. So this is the pasuk that Rashi quotes to prove that just like Hashem counts the stars and calls the stars by name, so too Hashem counts the B'nai Yisrael and counts the B'nai Yisrael by names. Once again, I'm just going to repeat the pasuk for you now that we said and translated it. Su'u marom einecham uru'u mi bara eila. Hamotzi b'mispar tzva'am, l'kulam b'shaim yikra, me'rov oni v'amit koach ish lo ne'edar. So we have this idea and the concept of names. I'm going to quote a very beautiful piece now from Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, into the opening of Sefer Bereishis. I don't recall actually. Someone just told me she can't get into Shir. She's usually someone who attends in person. And she just said that she can't get in. She's usually an in-person attendee, so I feel bad. And that's why I'm taking the time to do this. Okay. Okay. So I don't recall And on my learnings, I don't know, maybe I've read it and I don't remember. This is a very beautiful piece of Rav Soloveitchik. Ve'elish k'mos b'nei Yisrael ha'bayim Mitzrayim. And these are the names of the children of Israel who are coming to Egypt. Eis Yaakov, Yishuv, Ve'sovo, and the Shvatim. So Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, says as follows. And these are the names. What is the significance of the fact that the whole book is called Shemos? Ma'ashem Shalchem. That would not be correct. Ma'ashem Shalach. What is your name? The appellations given to the books of the Torah, says Rav Soloveitchik, generally reflect the theme within. So usually the appellation given to that set, that sefer of Chumash, reflects the theme within the book. So Bereishis, for example, is in the beginning. It also has the appellation of Sefer HaYetzira, Sefer HaYashar, Sefer HaSimanim. It reflects the theme within the book. So what is the theme of Shemos if the name of the book is Shemos? Says Rav Soloveitchik, he gives the example Bamidbar. For example, Bamidbar is not merely the first word of the fourth book of Chumash, Bereishis Shemos Vayikra Bamidbar. Rather, it alludes to the 38 years that the children of Israel sojourned in the desert. Every event recounted in the book of Bamidbar takes place in the desert, and therefore it is called Bamidbar because it takes place in the desert. So the choice of name is not merely semantic, but rather it reflects the happenings in that sefer. Bereishis, the whole theme of Bereishis is what happened in the beginning of time and what happened in the beginning of our nationhood. Similarly, Devarim, which is also known as Mishnah Torah, and Devarim means words, is a repetition of items previously discussed in the Torah. Words that Moshe spoke, what did he speak? Mishnah Torah. He reviewed the Torah. Vayikra refers to the appointment between God and Moshe in the Ohel Moed, and the theme is when God called to Moshe and he gives him all these myriad of laws. What is the significance of Sefer Shemos, and more specifically, the appellation given to this book, Shemos itself, and why do we call the whole book by the title names? A name, says Rav Soloveitchik, indicates individuality. A name indicates individuality. The Torah wishes to emphasize that God concluded the covenant not only with a nation, but with each individual. It's so important for every single individual to know how important they are. And that the covenant that God made with Am Yisrael was not only made with a nation, but with each individual. A name indicates individuality. The Torah wishes to emphasize, I'm repeating it, that God concluded the covenant not with a nation, but with an individual. The covenant was initially made with Avram alone. When Hashem came to Avram in Perek Yud Zayin, he says, I'm going to establish a covenant with you, me and you. However, from Avram Avinu, of course, and we don't talk about being the B'nai Avram, and we don't even talk about being the B'nai Yitzchak. We are the B'nai Yaakov, or the B'nai Yisrael, because we come from the one who formed a nation. And Knesset Yisrael is made up of important individuals. Each individual has a role in forming a nation. Although the community, through its sins, may lose its right to exist, says the Rav, God is willing to deal with but one person, and the merit of one person, one shame, one name, Hashem is willing to save us. A name signifies uniqueness. Every person is represented by their name, and by the kochos in that name, and by their uniqueness in that name. The Ten Commandments, Yaser Sadibros, which are coming up in Parshas Yisro, were addressed not in the plural. It doesn't say Anochi Hashem Elokeichem Asher Otzi Sichem Meretz Mitzrayim. It says Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Says the Rav, the Ten Commandments were addressed not in the plural but in the singular, to emphasize that God relates not only to the collective but to the individual as well. So yes, we're the B'nai Yaakov and the B'nai Yisrael because we're part of the nation, but the original covenant was made with Avram Avinu, the individual. And so in Shemos, as the book opens, says the Rav, the names of Yaakov's children are repeated and emphasized, like you saw in the beginning. It delineates each one of the Shvatim. Says the Rav, when I visited the land of Israel, I was taken to a secular kibbutz. Doesn't date it. I'm not sure when it was. But when I visited the land of Israel, I was taken to a secular kibbutz where the tour guide introduced me to a cow that he called Rachel. Upon hearing this, I instinctively recoiled When the guide saw my reaction, he asked sarcastically if giving the cow a name is yet another prohibition imposed by the rabbis. Says the Rav, giving an animal a name is in fact wrong, because the individuality denoted by a name belongs exclusively to human beings. Every human death is a loss which cannot be replaced, because Reuven is not Shimon, and Shimon is not Reuven. The name signifies the uniqueness of that individual. The Torah introduces, says the Rav, the laws of mourning, Hilchos Avelos, because even if someone of lowly character dies, his death is a loss, because every individual is endowed with the divine image as symbolized in his name and his uniqueness. And so the preservation of life is of supreme value, says the Rav, even if it necessitates breaking the Sabbath. The Torah emphasized the importance of Bikur Cholim and Echnasos Archim, a relationship between one person and another person. And this is unique to human beings. And certainly by us as Am Yisrael, we have a strong connection with each other. We're all part of the same nation. We all have the same last name, if you will, which is Am Yisrael. We have our own individual names, and we have the name of our nation. And so it is wrong, says the Rav, to give a cow a name. A dog, he gives a practical example, something we could relate to more than a cow on a farm. A dog may exhibit great friendship for his master, but a different dog can be substituted, which can display identical friendship. A dog becomes part of the family, a dog is very beloved, but oftentimes when that dog has reached its end and lived for many years, and I'm very fond of dogs, so I'm not really trying to insult anyone, Chas V'Shalom, who has one or who loves one, and my children are very, very fond of dogs. But after the dog has deceased, you can get a different dog and have a level of friendship with the new pet. A dog fundamentally, therefore, has no name. It is merely part of a species. As devoted as a dog is, there's no avelis because it can be substituted for a different dog. This is the Rav, Naami Choretz, telling you this. I'm quoting from Chumash Masoros HaRav, Sefer Shmos, page 2. But a person is unique. A person is an individual. That person's name can never be replaced, and the individual can never be replaced. That is why the halacha is so insistent, interestingly, says the Rav, that in a marriage document, the names recorded must be done so with precision. And he says, Avram was elevated to spiritual greatness when his name was changed. Yaakov had a certain destiny under the name Yaakov, and Yisrael reflected a different destiny. When I was preparing this, I thought it was interesting when we contemplate that Yitzchak was actually the only biblical patriarch who never had a name change. Avram became Avraham. Yaakov became Yisrael. It's just interesting to think that Yitzchak actually never underwent this name change. Okay, that's my own thought. I haven't thought into it as to why or what we learn from there, but the Rav is proving from the two patriarchs that do have a name change that it indicates individuality, and it signifies something deep about ourselves, our names. The appellation of the book, Sefer Shemos, the book of names, signifies that Exodus would have taken place even if only one individual had been in Egypt. That's how important every single person is. If one person would have been there, says the Rav, as signified by the appellation, the name of Sefer Shemos, the Exodus would have taken place. Now he goes back to Rashi, which is where we started. Rashi cites the phrase, Hamotzi b'mispar tzva'am. He takes out the host by number, l'kulam b'shem yikra. He calls all of them by name. This phrase refers to the position of the stars within the constellations. Every star is part of the universe, yet each star is numbered, named, and accounted for individually by God. And Am Yisrael is compared to the stars, and we're going to talk about this soon even more in depth. Each star is part of the universe, and yet each star is numbered, named, and accounted for individually by God. So too, says the Rav, each individual has your individual function. And yet, Knesset Yisrael is one system composed of individuals. So when Rashi tells us, why does he count us and what are we compared to? He counts us because he loves us and we are compared to the stars. So what's the tafkid of the stars? They make up one huge unit of the solar system, and yet each one shines individually. And I heard a very beautiful idea a couple of years ago from Esther Edelman. I don't remember who she was quoting, but she shared something interesting with me. Klal Yisrael are compared to both the sand of the sea and the stars of the heaven. So the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Bereishis, right after the Akedas Yitzchak, the Pasuk tells us, Perek Chaf Beis Abreishis, Pasuk Yud Zayin for your reference, Hashem says, Ki Bareich Avarechecha, I will surely bless you after Avam Amos, but does not Ashach to son, Vaharba Arba Etzarecha, I will surely increase your progeny, Ki Kochve Hashemayim, like the stars of the heaven, Lechachol Asher Alsvas Hayam, and like the sand is on the shore of the sea. So which one is Klal Yisrael? Are we compared to the stars or are we compared to the sand of the sea? L'maisa, we're compared to both. In the aftermath of the Akedah, Hashem makes a beautiful promise to Avram and he tells him, I will surely bless you. I will certainly increase your seed. Kikochve hashamayim, like the stars of the heaven, lechachol asher alsvas hayam, and like the sand that is on the seashore. And here, as we open up Sefer Shemos, Rashi tells us beferish. By the way, Rashi is quoting Medrash Shemos Rabba, Parsha Aleph, Siman Gimel. Rashi tells us beferish shenim shelu lakochavim. Knesset Yisrael is compared to stars, and we already went through the very beautiful piece of Rav Salvechik, where the Rav speaks about the individuality of every person, just like the individuality of each star. And the Rav goes so far as to say that if only one person had been in Egypt, Hashem would have redeemed that person. It was worth it for one alone. Shemos, every person has an own individual name. So Rashi tells us here that we are compared to the stars, just like Hashem takes out and brings in the stars by name, so too Hashem takes us out and brings us in. So what is the pshat? I don't remember who Esther quoted, that we are compared both to the stars and to the sand. So she shared a very beautiful insight with me. What is the difference between each star and each grain of sand? So there's probably many answers. I'm going to share one with you. When it comes to the stars, every star shines brightly on its own. Remember, the first Rashi to say for Shemos tells us we're compared to the stars. Every star shines brightly on its own. You know, you look outside, sometimes you see one beautiful star and you say, wow, it's so beautiful. You don't need to see 100 billion stars to appreciate one star. Every star is beautiful. What about the sand of the sea? The sand of the sea, one grain is insignificant on its own. It can't stop the tide. It can't fill a sandbag. You can't build a sandcastle. A turtle can't lay her eggs in the beach where she was born. One grain of sand is insignificant on its own. One star is significant on its own. One grain of sand is insignificant on its own. The sand needs to join together with all the other grains of sand to be significant, to accomplish its tafkid. If you want to stop the tide, and you want to be a breaker for the waves, and you want to keep the sea in place, and you want to be a sandbag and protect the windows, and you want to be able to kids to build a sandcastle on the beach, and the turtle should have somewhere to lay her eggs, all the grains of sand must work together to give koach to the elemental function of sand. So what is the message for Klal Yisrael? Hashem told Avram in the aftermath of the Akedas Yitzchak, I will surely bless you, I will surely increase you. You will be like the stars of the heaven and the sand on the seashore. Every individual must know they're both. We are the stars and we are the sand. How so? Each star is bright in and of itself. And every person has to know that they have an individual koach as symbolized through their name. We each have the potential to shine so brightly and so beautifully on our own, irrespective of what anyone else around you is doing. You have your own kochos, your own light, your own spark. That's symbolized by each individual star. On the other hand, you have to know not only are you kekochvei hashamayim, but you are also kechol asher asfas hayam. At the same time that we have to bring our potential to fruition and shine brightly as an individual on our own, we also have to know if we don't join with the rest of Klal Yisrael, we're as insignificant as a single grain of sand. So it seems like a paradox. It seems like an oxymoron. Are we bright on our own or do we need all of Klal Yisrael to join together? And the answer is both. You're both like the stars of the heaven. Recognize your worth and how beautiful that individual star is in and of itself. On the other hand, you must know that without joining together like the grains of sand, each individual grain can accomplish absolutely nothing on its own. It's a tremendous Musar Haskon. It's a lesson we must, no pun intended, ready, ingrain in ourselves and into our children as well. We all have the koch and the ability to shine so brightly on our own. But if we try and stand only on our own, we will never be successful. And that is like the koch ve hashamayim and the chol asher al sfas hayam. I'm going to quote now from Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita from his sefer Aleinu L'Shabeach Bereishis. So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein writes as follows, a day in a posek, a rav in Bnei Brak. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein says, people's names have great significance, and they have the power to inspire emuna and good midos. For instance, in this week's parsha, he says, we have the name Moshe, Ba'ir, or Bas Paro, as she is identified, comes down to the river, she sees the baby, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud, and Vayigdal Hayad, V'tivyeh L'Bat Paro, V'tikra Shema Moshe, and why does she call his name Moshe? Kimina Mayim Ishisiyu, I drew him out of the water. So there is a significance to the name, and it symbolizes something about the name. There is much more to learn from the names in Torah. A case in point, he gives us an interesting example about the power and significance of names. The name of the Nasi, the tribal prince of Naphtali, was Achira ben Enan. Achi, my brother, Ra is bad. Achira literally means evil brother. Which parent would give his child such a name? Achira, evil brother? However, he quotes Rabbeinu Paltiel in his commentary on the Torah known as Tolas, who explains that when the Ananei HaKavod, the clouds of glory, expelled the tribe of Dan because they had the idol of Micha in their midst, interesting, the Nasi of Dan, who was expelled from the clouds of glory, called out to Naphtali, Achi Ezer ben Amishadai, my brother, Achi Ezer, tell me, so I can be part of my nation, Amishadai, the nation of Hashem. Again, when the clouds of glory expelled the tribe of Dan because they had the idol of Micha in its midst, the Nasi of Dan called out to the Nasi of Naphtali, and he said, Achi Ezer ben Amishadai, which was his name, my brother Achi Ezer, help me, so I will not be expelled and I can be part of the nation of Hashem. Once again, Amishadai, Ami, I want to be part of my nation, Shakai of Hashem. The Nasi of Naphtali answered, Achira, my brother, remove the evil Ra from your midst. So says Rav Zilberstein, apparently the name Achira ben Enan was not the name given to him at birth. It became the name by which he was called due to this episode. And sometimes a person has an appellation or a nickname or a term of endearment based on something that happened to them in their lives. Every person, says Rav Zilberstein, has three names. I'm going to quote Rabbi Zavlev after this, who says every person has four names. But first, every person has three names. One, the name his parents give him. Two, the name his friends give him. Three, the name which he places a crown upon his own head, i.e. the name he earns through his own accomplishments. I'm going to explain it soon from Rabbi Zavlev in more detail. Right now I'm just quoting from Rav Zilberstein. The author of the Sefer Baruch Sha'amar, who was an orphan, would pray to Hashem for help. His prayers were particularly fervent when he came to the tefillah of Baruch Sha'amar. So his friends would call him the nickname Baruch Sha'amar, and in fact, that was the sefer they wrote. Commentary to tefillah became known as Baruch Sha'amar. That wasn't his name, but he became attached to the prayer of Baruch Sha'amar, so he became known by that prayer. So a person has three names, says Rabbi Zilberstein. The name his parents give him, the name his friends give him, and finally, the name he gives himself. So we see that names have tremendous significance. And the names by which we are called, and which others call us, and which our parents call us, always symbolizes something about the people that we are. Now I go to Rabbi Zavlev. So Rabbi Zavlev, Shlita, I'm just going to make a shahako, please. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bedvaro. Okay. The Pasuk tells us in Mishlei, Parachav Pasuchav Zayin Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The candle of God is the soul of man. Let's keep that in mind. Let's go to Rabbi Zavlev Shlita from Moshav Matityav. Everyone says Rabbi Zavlev has four names. Now you might think to yourself, you don't have four names. Maybe you think to yourself, I have one or two names. First name, middle name, Hebrew name, English name. No, Rabbi Zavlev says you have four names. He adds one to Rav Zilberstein quotes. The first name is the name Hashem gives you. What does that mean, the name Hashem gives you? That is your neshama. your inherent personality. Those are your talents, abilities, and capabilities. So it doesn't mean literally, I don't know if at the time that the neshama comes down to this guf, there is actually a kriyas hashem, I'm not sure. But it means the talents, abilities, capabilities that your neshama is endowed with and that you come down to this world with. Of course, keep in mind that the word neshama, soul, the middle two letters spell, shame. Your name is embedded within your soul. So the first name is the name Hashem gives you. You know, people are born with certain personality traits. You can have kids in the same family, and they're so, so different from each other, but they have the same parents, the same home, the same upbringing. What happened? There's an inherent difference within the person themselves. That comes from, quote, the name Hashem gives you. That is your neshama. That's in your inherent personality, your talents, abilities, capabilities. That's the first name that you have. The second name is the name your parents give you. That doesn't only represent v'yikoshmo b'Yisrael, but it also represents genetics. Excuse me. Says Rabbi Zavlev, for example, your parents may be musical, so you are musical. Your parents are artistic, so you are artistic. This is the name your parents give you. It doesn't only represent the name they actually call you, but what you get from your parents. So we could call that nature, if you will. Then there's also the name your friends give you. What does that mean, the name your friends give you? That's the name that you get from your environment, the influence of your surroundings. So each name doesn't mean everywhere you go, you literally have a different name, okay? There's a name God gives you. This represents your neshama, your inherent personality, your talents, abilities, capabilities that you are born with. You're born with certain personality traits. You're born with certain tendencies. Some people are more patient. Some people are less patient. Some people are prone to anger. Some people are calmer. Some people like sour foods and some people like sweet foods and some people like salty and some people like bitter. You have a certain inherent personality within yourself. That's how you were born. That's the name God gives you. Then there's the name your parents give you. It doesn't only refer to, I'm reviewing, V'yikoshmo b'Yisrael. It refers to the influence of your upbringing, genetics, what you get from your parents. But that's not the only thing that shapes a person as they get older. Sure, when you're a baby, you're only with your parents, but then as you get older, you go out into the world, and now you meet what we call friends, and that represents your environment, the influence of your surroundings, and that also shapes you, and that contributes to the person that you are as well, and that's also part of your name. So what's the fourth name? Like Rabbi Zavlev said, the name you give yourself. What's the name you give yourself? What does that mean? I'm not talking about you go to court and you have a name change. What's the name that we give ourselves? So Rabbi Zavlev said, the three previous names, the name Hashem gives you, i.e. your talents, abilities, capabilities, natural tendencies. The name your parents give you, i.e. genetics, the influence of your upbringing, your home environment. Number three, the name your friends give you, the influence of society, social norms, peer pressure, if you will. All that is just potential. Potentially that influences and shapes the person you can become. But what is the name you give yourself? It's bringing all of those ingredients, what Hashem gives you, what your parents give you, what your friends, your environment, society gives you, and taking your potential and making it something. Only you ultimately can give yourself your final name, which is a sense of accomplishment, contribution, making yourself count. Because Rabbi Zavlev said potential is zero. Zero. If you have a lot of potential, you have a lot of zeros. If you put even one number before all those zeros, you now have great value. Potential is nothing unless you make it something. And I'm sure you know this to be true, and I know this to be true. The greatest key to success in life is not IQ. I'm not talking about someone who is handicapped, mentally challenged, lower level of intelligence than normal. For Hamon Am, the greatest measure of success is not how smart the person is. It's how much drive they have to succeed in life. It's absolutely 1,000% true. Because why? You could have the name God gives you and your abilities within your neshama and your very self. And you have what you learn from your parents, or even name your parents give you. And you have what you see from your friends and your environment and society around you. And you could either choose to make yourself something, and that's the name you give yourself. Or Rachmana Litzlan, without that drive and that motivation and that push to take your potential and make it into something, you're left with nothing. Rabbi Lav said potential. You know, when they say at the parent-teacher conference, a child has so much potential, you know that's not really the best compliment you could have. Because it means potentially they could be better, but they're not being better. So children, you hope they grow. But it's our tafkid to give yourself a name. To give your own name, your neshama, the actualization of the potential, make it a shame. Potential is nothing, says Rabbi Lef, unless you make it something. Unless you make it into something. 1 second, please. Sorry. And that's the power of Shemos. Eile Shemos B'nei Yisrael. We each have an individual name. But we have an achrayus as part of Knesset Israel to bring that name to its fullest potential and actualize that potential. Because like the stars, we're each individually bright on our own. We come together like the sand to make the power of the Nisha. But it'll only happen if every person actualizes the potential inherent within his own name. Rabbi Lev quoted as follows. At the time the neshama leaves the body, Kol ha-neshama b'yitzia min ha-guf, misof ha-olam va'ad sofo. Kol ha-neshama b'yitzias min ha-guf, misof ha-olam va'ad sofo. The sound of the scream of the neshama when it leaves the body is heard from one end of the world to the other. What does that mean? I'm not sure where he was quoting. That's what he quoted. Kol ha-neshama b'yitzias min ha-guf, misof ha-olam va'ad sofo. It's heard from one end of the world to another. Why does the neshama scream at the time that it leaves the guf? So he quoted Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, at the time of the yitzias ha-neshama, you are shown two screens in Shemayim. Two screens. One screen shows you what you could have been, and one screen shows you what you are. And when the neshama sees what it is, and the neshama sees what it could have been, it lets out a scream that is heard from one end of the world to another. It's a frightening, awe-inspiring thought. Who is the person that I am? And who is the person that I could be? Am I using the name Hashem gave me, my inherent talents, abilities, capabilities, the name my parents gave me, but I learned from my upbringing, my household, my environment, the way I was nurtured? Am I using the name my friends gave me, social influences, friend influences, Knei Lechachaver? Am I taking all of those and giving myself a name? And when I see those two screens, on Me'av Esrim Shana, what will be the screen that animates from my neshama? There's a famous story told about the Netziv. If it's true or not true, I'm not sure. But this is how the Maisa goes, okay? The great Netziv from Naftali Tzvi Yehudim Berlin, when he was a young boy, the Mechaber of the Ha'imik Davar, commentary to Torah, which you need to know, to understand the story. Okay, his commentary to Torah is called Ha'emek Davar. It's very beautiful. I have it. Baruch Hashem, it's set right there in my bookcase. So the Netziv was a little boy, and he wanted to leave the yeshiva. He was very frustrated. He felt the learning wasn't going well. He wasn't getting the material. He was trying, but he just couldn't do it. So he went home, and he told his parents he's leaving the yeshiva, and he's becoming a shoemaker. He's going to apprentice as a shoemaker. He's finished with yeshiva. He's not understanding the material. His parents were very upset, but he said, this is it. He had a dream that night that he went up to Shamayim in his dream. And he gets up to the Beis Din Shamala, they call him up. They say, HaRav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda miBerlin, please come up, it's your turn. He goes up and they take out a sefer. And they open up to the opening page of the sefer and they say to him, this is a commentary to Chamisha Chumshei Torah. He says, okay. And they open it up and they say, HaEmek Daver, the depth of the matter, Al Shem Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda miBerlin. So he says, who wrote that? So they say to him, this is what you could have written if you would have stayed in yeshiva and not left to be a shoemaker. So he woke up and he understood that his tafkid was to stay in yeshiva, immerse himself, exert himself, and ultimately he became the great netziv. Is it a true story or not a true story? I'm not sure. Okay? But that's how the story goes, and obviously contains a tremendous lesson in Musar Haskel for all of us. We have a responsibility as part of Klal Yisrael to certainly bind with the entire nation. Okay? We cannot be Polish minetzibur. Berov am hadros melech. One grain of sand is nothing on its own. Nothing. Might be a little annoyance under your foot, but it's not going to stop the tide. You can't build a sandcastle. The turtle can't lay her eggs. And it's not going to protect your windows in the time of the blitzkrieg, rachman al etzan. It's going to do nothing. So of course we understand we're all part of a greater klal. But you also understand your koach as a kochav, each individual star. And that's how Sefer Shemos begins. Sefer Shemos begins by telling you, says Rashi, quoting Medrash Shemos Rabbah, that Knesset Yisrael are compared to the kochavim. Perhaps why is that the lesson at the beginning of Sefer Shemos? Rashi could have said, we're compared to the, you know, the Medrash could have said, we're compared to the sand. Why tell us right here as we begin the story of Sefer Shemos that we're compared to the stars? Perhaps the reason is because this is the lesson that we need as we go into the Galus. As it's getting darker and darker, you need to know that each individual is so important. The enemy wants to not only root out the nation, Paro not only wanted to destroy Am Yisrael, but he also wanted to destroy the individuality of each and every Yisraeli who was there, and Yisraelis, to remove their individuality. So Rashi says, quoting the Midrash, as soon as you begin this story into the descent, into the darkness of Shibun Mitzrayim, don't forget, no matter what everyone else tells you, no matter what the world says, no matter how the Shibun makes you feel, you remain the bright individual that you are. And you still have the potential that no one can take away from you to take the name God gave you, your parents gave you, your friends gave you, and make it into the great name you call yourself. So at this point in time, we don't need to know we're like the stand. We need to know you are like the stars. Every individual counts. Every individual is precious. Or if Salvechik goes too far as to say, is that even if one individual was in Egypt, God would have arranged the exodus for them. And Rabbi Zevlev points out, which I mentioned already before, that within the word neshama, is the name, shame. Nun, shin, mem, hey, the middle two letters are shame. Why? Because all talents, capabilities, and abilities inherent in your neshama come shining through your name. And therefore, our tafkid is to bring our name, which is our latent potential, to actual reality. And sometimes the cards seem stacked against us, especially in this pandemic world in which we are living. Sometimes people have goals, dreams, aspirations, and hopes. And it seems like we're in a really difficult time. We thought it was ending, new wave, new rules, new regulations. Can't always be the cover of Mishpacha. I didn't have any time to read it. It came this morning, but the cover of Mishpacha is about Israel and their borders and closing. We can't always accomplish what we want to accomplish today, we feel. We can't always be where we want to be, we feel. But that's just part of how Hashem has arranged the world. Our tafkid is to do the best we can to bring our shame, to make it shine, nimshala kochavim, through the kochos of our neshama. Rabbi Zevlev gives a mashal. He says there was a father who was reading a magazine, and his young son kept pestering him over and over, and the father wanted some peace and quiet, okay? So finally, the father tears out a page from the magazine. It was a map of the world. He tears it into 20 pieces. He gives it to the kid. He puts all the pieces on the coffee table. He says, go put the puzzle together. Put the map of the world together. Don't bother me till you're done. The father figures, great. He has a few hours to read his magazine. 15 minutes later, the boy comes back and he says, I'm done. The father says, that's impossible. The boy says, no, come look. I put the map of the world together. The father thinks, my kid's a genius. He knew the whole map of the world. I didn't know he was a genius. How did you do this? Said the father. The child said, "Father, it was very easy. On the back of the page of the map was a picture of a man. I put the man together and the whole world fell into place." We have to make sure that we put ourselves together and pull ourselves together and find the koch within our shame, and also impart that lesson as much as we can to children / grandchildren. Yes, Am Yisrael is like the sand. Kechol asher asfas hayam. Of course. But don't forget, while we're so busy working on Achdus, which I'm not minimizing, I'm not diminishing, Chas v'Sham, but the point of today's shir is more to focus on the power of the Kochavim, that Israel is compared to the Kochavim, especially Rav. And again, it's Mamish the first Rashi, quoting Medrash Shemos, I keep almost saying Bereshis Rav, because we've been in Bereshis for so many weeks. Medrash Shemos Rav, the first thing you have to know as you begin the descent into Galus is, do not lose your shine. Do not lose your brightness. Do not lose your power to realize that every individual twinkles, shines, contributes something to the world. And yes, the enemy wants to root it out. And yes, the Yetzer Hara wants to root it out. And yes, the society we live in wants to root out your specialness. But you are Nimshala Kochavim. Rabbi Lef said further that the Zohar says, as the last thought I'm going to share with you of Rabbi Lef, that when Hashem calls out a double Lashon, Avram, Avram, what is the meaning of the double Lashon? By the way, it relates to this week's parasha, because Hashem calls by the snare, Moshe, Moshe. So what is the significance of a double calling? So Rabbi Lev said that the Zohar says, one is Avram Lamala. Hashem calls Avram, Avram. One refers to Avram Lamala, and one refers to Avram Lamata. That means the heavenly Avram, and the earthly Avram, if you will. So what is the message, Avram, Avram? Hashem is saying that you have to bring the Lamata, the below, the earthly Avram image, persona, and you have to reach the height of the Lamala persona. There's an image of all of us above. Remember, by the time of the Yetzias HaNeshama, the call of the Neshama is heard from one end of the world to the other, because there's two screens, what you are and what you could have been. Avram, Avram says the Zohar, one refers to Avram Lamata, Avram in this world. One refers to Avram Lamala, the image of who you are and who you could have been above. And every person's tafkid is to take that Lamata person and reach through potential and making the potential actualization through reaching the Lamala person. And this all reminded me of a Medrash, which I'm going to share with you, Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. Parasha Samech Ches, Simen Yud Beis. Actually, I'm going to screen share it with you. 1 second, please. I know there's a lot of comments. Please understand, it's very hard for me to teach. I don't know even who posted. It's hard for me to teach and also read comments on the chat. Okay, I'm not sure. Let me just make sure you could see the right thing on my screen over here. Just going to make it bigger for you. You'll tell me if you're in the right place. Can you see it says Bereishis Rabbah Samechas Yud Beis? Yes, Diane, sorry if you're the only person I could see right now. Yes, yes, okay, thank you so much. So this all reminded me of this Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. So the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Bereishis that when Yaakov Avinu had his famous dream, and actually I should put on the screen for you, and Parachav Ches of Bereishis, here's the pasuk. I'm just going to copy and paste it onto the screen for you, so you could see what the mentor is talking about. Perek Yud Ches, okay? Pasuk Perek Chof Ches, pasuk Yud Gimel. The pasuk tells us Yaakov Avinu is in the middle of his famous dream, and the pasuk says, "V'hine Hashem nitzav alav." Behold, Hashem is standing. What's alav? Hashem is standing on the ladder. Hashem is standing on Yaakov. Vayomer, ani Hashem elokei Avram avicha velokei Yitzchak. I am Hashem, the God of Am, your father, the God of Yitzchak. Ha'aretz asher ata shochev ala lecha etnenu lezarecha. The land upon which you are lying, to you and your children, I will give it. I wanted another pasuk here. Sorry, I'm going to give the previous pasuk. Okay. Let's go back to this pasuk, okay? Ayachalom, he had a dream. Vihine sulam mutzav arza. Behold, there's a ladder standing on the ground. Verosha magia hashamayima. Vihine malachokim olim viardimbo. So there's a ladder. This is Yaakov Venus' famous dream. And there's a ladder on the ground. The head reaches to the heavens. And behold, the angels of God are going up and down. So what are they going up and down? Olim viardimbo. The pshatas are going up and down the ladder. Furthermore, Vihine Hashem Nitzav Alav. What is Hashem standing on? The ladder or Yaakov? The Pshat is God is standing over the ladder, and he says, I'm the God of Hashem, your father. Okay, let's look at the Medrash. The Medrash says, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yanai say as follows. They have different interpretations. Chad Amar, Olim V'yordim Basulam. One says it means that the angels were going up and down the Sulam, up and down the ladder. The Chad Amar, and one says, Olim V'yordim B'Yaakov. They're going up and down Yaakov. What does that mean? They're going up and down Yaakov. So the Medrash says, Manda Amar Olim V'yordim Basulam Nicha. The one that says the angels are going up and down the ladder. So it's not a difficulty. The angels are going up and down the ladder. This is also the same siman in the Medrash where the Medrash says the Malachi Chutzarts are going down and the Malachi Eretz Yisrael are going up. So if you say the angels are going up and down the ladder, so I don't have a kasha, there's no difficulty, they're going up and down the ladder. Uman da Amar, but the one that says Olam V'yordim B'Yaakov, they're going up and down Yaakov. What does that mean? The angels are going up and down Yaakov. Yaakov is lying on the ground. He's in Luz / atop Har HaMaria. There's this beautiful ladder. God is standing on top of Yaakov or on top of the ladder, and he sees these angels and they're going up and down the ladder. That I could understand. They're vertically going up and down the ladder. But another pshat is they're horizontally going up and down Yaakov. What does that mean? So the Medrash says, Uman da Amar Olam V'yordim B'Yaakov, those who say they're going up and down Yaakov, Ma'alin u'mardim bo, they're going up and down him. What does that mean? Promoting and demoting him. I'm using the translation of Art Scroll Medrash Bereshis Rabbah. Ma'alim u'maridim bo, they are promoting or demoting him. The Art Scroll footnote says, quoting Eitz Yosef, some angels were praising him to God and some were condemning him. So olim v'yardim bo means some angels were building him up, Yaakov Avinu, and some angels were putting him down. What does this mean? Continues the Medrash. Afzim bo, kavzim bo, sontim bo. This means they were pushing on him, leaping on him, and taunting him. Why? What kind of man just says this? What's going on here? He's having this famous dream, and God says, your children were birthed for us. Yama v'keima tzafona v'negba v'nivruchu b'chal komish b'chos ha'adama. I will be with you. I won't leave you. Yaakov wakes up. Oh my God, this place is so holy. I didn't know. It's house of Hashem, Shar Shemayim. What kind of man just says this? The angels are going up and down Yaakov, and some are raising him up, and some are lowering him down, and they're pushing him and leaping him, taunting him. Why? Like the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Yisrael achsher b'cha espa'er. The Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Israel, through you, I will take glory. So the angel said, is this Israel, Yisrael, through who God will take glory? Atusha ikonan shalcha chakuka lamala. Are you the Yaakov that your image is engraved on the heavenly throne? Why? Because we know that there are four images engraved on the heavenly throne. And one of them is Yaakov Avinu, Kruv, Nesher, Aryeh, and Yaakov. So the angels go up and down Yaakov, and they go up and down to Shemayim, and they're making fun of Yaakov. They're saying, ha, this guy down there who's sleeping, that's the one who's on the heavenly throne, that's his image? He's sleeping, he's a shluffer. He's asleep in the house of God. His image is on the heavenly throne. Are you sleeping through life? Yisrael, Becha, Espa'er. This is Israel. Really Israel? That his name is Yisrael? But the angels knew he was going to be named Yisrael. Through you, God will be glorified. Atusha ikonan shachacha kukalamala. You're the one whose image is on the heavenly throne. Olim lamala v'roim ikonon shalok. They would go up and they would see his image on the heavenly throne. The yardim lamata. Then they would come down. Umotzim oso yashin. He's sleeping. So it's not Michal Horowitz who's telling this. I just want to put it all on the same screen, on the same page for you, so it's easier to see. This is what the Medrash says. They go up and they see, wow, Kruv, Aryeh, Nesher, Yaakov, you all hold up the throne of glory. This must be the most amazing human being we ever saw, if he's one of the legs of the Kisei HaKavod. And then they come down. Yardim lamata umotzim oso yashin? We come down and he's sleeping? So which Yaakov are you? Are you the heavenly Yaakov? who's holding up the throne of glory? Or are you the earthly Yaakov, who's Pasha asleep? Medrash Bereishis Rama, Samechas Yad Beis. Mashal l'melech, shahaya yoshev vidan. There's a mashal, a parable to a king that was sitting and judging. Olim l'basilike, you would go to his basilica. I remember learning that from history. I don't remember when I was preparing this year. I remember the word basilica. It's a type of art form. So I looked it up online. A basilica is a large oblong hollow building with double colonnades used in ancient Rome as a court of law or for public assemblies. Okay? So the Medrash gives a mashal to a king who's sitting and judging in the basilica. Umotzim osodan, you go and you see the king and he's sitting there and he's judging in the basilica and you think he's so prominent, he's so important, he's the king, he's judging. V'yotzim ba'parvad, umotzim oso yashen, and then you go out and you exit to the courtyard and you find he's sleeping. Which person is he? Is he the person who's sitting holding court? Or he's the person who's asleep in the garden? V'hine malach elokim olim v'yordim bo. The angels of God are ascending and descending to check out who's the real Yaakov. Will the real Yaakov Avinu please stand up? So the Medrash says, Man de Amar Olam V'yardim Basulam Nicha. For those who say he's going up and down the ladder, it's no kasha. The angels are going up and down the ladder. I don't have a problem. But the ones who say they're going up and down Yaakov, they're going up and down Yaakov. They're pushing him. They're mocking him. Yisrael Becha Espa'er? This is the one God through whom you're glorified? Is this the image that is engraved above? So they would go up and they would see his image engraved above. And then they would come down and they would find that he's asleep. How does this all relate to our shir so strongly? Because it reminded me very much, I'm stopping the screen share, reminded me very much this medrash of a Rabbi Zavlov says that we have four names. You have the name God gave you. It's all of the capabilities of the person that you are. And then you have your name your parents gave you. It's the environment into which you were born and bred. It's the genetics. It's the influence of your home. It's everything you learned from them and saw from them. And then you have the environment of your friends from the time you're a young child. You're going to preschool and then elementary school. And you learn from society and the people around you. But all that is nothing. Literally nothing if you choose to sleep through life. It's only something if you give yourself a name. They're all wonderful gifts. Hashem gives us amazing gifts. Our parents give us amazing gifts. And if we have quality friends and a positive environment, they give us amazing gifts. Which persona are we? The one of the screen above, who we could have been? Or the one of the screen below, Yaakov sleeping. I'm not saying Chas Hashem anything derogatory, Chalila, please, about Yaakov Vina the Bechir Shab Abbas. We're saying, what's the Musar Haskel for us? Because everything we learn has to contain a Musar Haskel for us. And there's going to be a lot of challenges in life. The Esavs are going to be running after us. The Lavans are going to be tricking us. The Rachel and Leahs are going to be fighting over us. There's going to be sibling rivalry. There's a lot of impediments to reaching the potential to be the person that you are or that you could have been. But none of us want to get up to Shemayim. And they're going to show you a sefer and you're going to say, who wrote that? And they're going to say, that's what you could have written. If you would have brought all of that potential and actualized it to give yourself a name. So we're compared to the kochavim, because yes, every grain of sand is only important if it's with other grains. It can accomplish nothing. So we have the importance of achdus, of knesses Israel, berov am hadras melech, of al tirfosh min hatzibur. But don't forget that you shine as an individual, just like every star shines as an individual. And it relates to this week's parsha as well. Because when Hashem comes to Moshe at the burning bush, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, I'm going to try to end. I see the time is really quickly running out. I'm just going to try and finish my last thought here, and I'll try and address. I see there's a lot of comments. I just do not have time in the middle of the shir to read them, never mind address them. Perek, I'm sorry. Paragimel Pasuk Aleph. Umosha Hayaro Etzon Yisro Chosna Koin Midjan. Moshe was a shepherd for the flocks of Yisro, his father-in-law. His father-in-law was the priest of Midjan. And he's taking the sheep into the desert. And he comes to Har Elokim Chareva. Vayera Malach Hashem Ela Bulabat Eish. And all of a sudden, in the flame of fire, he sees an angel of God from the burning bush. And he sees that the sneh is burning with fire, but it's not being consumed. And Moshe says, wow, Asurana, the era Tamar HaGadaza. You know what? I better turn from my path. Let me see this unbelievably gishmak maisa. What's going on here? Madua lo yivar sna. Why is the burning bush not burning? It's not normal. You put a bush on fire within a few seconds, the wood should all be finished. It's not burning. And Hashem sees that he turned to see. Vayikra elav elokim mitoch hasna. Vayomer perikim apasuk dalid. Moshe, Moshe. Vayomer hineni. Hashem says, don't come close. What's the first thing, actually, Hashem says? We always say that the first thing Hashem says to Moshe is, Shal na'alacha me'al raglacha. Or, the first thing that Hashem says is, Perikim ha'pasachas, I'm taking these down, ve'ered lahatzilo ulalosa min ha'aretz hazosa, eretz avas chal v'dvash. What's the first thing Hashem actually said to Moshe? Moshe, Moshe. Now take off your shoes. Not we're going to have a yantif in the desert. Not you're the right man for the job. Not the ground is holy. Not we're going to Eretz Yisrael. The very first sound of God that Moses hears at the burning bush is his very own name. And he doesn't hear it once. He hears it twice. Because Hashem was showing him, I'm giving you a tafkid, Moshe. You know what your tafkid is? It's to make the Moshe below, a simple shepherd, a son-in-law of Yisro, a fugitive from Paro, married to Tzipora, busy with the sheep, minding my own business. I'm a simple guy. I'm a Joe Schmo. No, you're not. Look at the screen above. You're Moshe Rabbeinu. And the first thing he tells him is not take off your shoes. And the first thing he tells him is not we're going to Eretz Yisrael. And the first thing he tells him is not you will worship God on this mountain. The first thing God simply says is, do you know your name? Do you know the power in your name? Do you know that the Moshe below can be someone so much greater? You could be the Moshe above. Look at these two screens. This is the Moshe Lamata. That's the Moshe Lamara. And you're Tafka these next 40 years, Moshe. Is to make the Moshe Lamata match the image of the Moshe Lamala. Malach Elokim Olim V'yordimbo. There's an image of Yaakov. He's holding up the throne of God. He has all the potential God gave him. That's the Shem Hashem gave him. He has all the potential his parents gave him. The name his parents gave him. He has all the potential his friends gave him. But if you're sleeping in life, and I don't mean physically you need to sleep, we cannot amount to anything. And so the first thing God says to Moshe is know thine name, and then we can talk about everything else. And how compelling that. I thought it such a beautiful end to the shiur. I hope you'll agree that Moshe's name is made of three letters. Mem, Shin, He. Mem, Shin spells shame. And He stands for the Ribbono Shel Olam, or Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Mem, Shin, Moshe's name is Mem, Shin, He. Mem, Shin, rearrange them, spell shame. Because Moshe's tafkid was to recognize who he was below needed to match who he was above. And he became the leader because he had the koch to teach the people to actualize the potential within their names. Hey, standing for Hashem. When a person actualizes their potential, they can become a true Avad Hashem. Or Hey stands for Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Because it is through a life of Torah, living and learning, practicing, teaching, that we will truly actualize the potential in our shame. And then the persona below will match the persona above. And when we get up after 120, and they show us the sefer or the accomplishment or the achievement, we won't have to say who wrote that. We will be able to say, Baruch Hashem, I wrote that. Ve'ele shemos b'nei Yisrael haba'im mitzrayma, Yisi Yaakov ishu ve'sovau. So I thank you for bearing with me on Zoom. Be'ezor Hashem, next week we shall all be well. We will be back to in person. I wish everybody a week of besoros tovus and good health and a wonderful Shabbos.